on today's Compassion Radio.
There's no good choices for this. That, I think, is why St. Paul in the New Testament said the powers that be are ordained of God. Government enables us to act toward our neighbor as we should, and there has to be law and order.
Hi, friends, and welcome to the Frontlines Radio Journal of God's Kingdom and Kingdom People in Action. There's been a lot of important news lurking just below the headlines this past week, and we'll dig into one important Kingdom story on today's broadcast. Thanks for joining us today. Well, this morning on Compassion Radio, I'm going to toss it back to our old friend Jim Jennings from Conscience International today because we have news that we need to discuss within the family of God about what's going on at a place really close to the United States, the island, and the country that is Haiti. Dr. Jennings, welcome back to Compassion Radio.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
The situation in Haiti has been kind of buried in the news because of so much that's been at the top of our plate with international politics and military interventions, the end of the war in Afghanistan, et cetera, et cetera. But just a few days ago, it got thrown back into our faces that Haiti was a real problem spot because of things like the border crossing fiasco down in Del Rio, Texas, the problems that have not been addressed after the major earthquake that happened just a few months ago that very few people even paid attention to. But now it's really impacting people close to our hearts, the ones that serve the people of Haiti. And it did make national news, if ever so briefly, that 17 missionaries and their families have been abducted by some notorious gangs in Haiti and are still being held for ransom. And the organization that is sponsoring these folks is one of the world's largest children's relief agencies out there called Christian Aid Ministries. I want to talk about the situation. Have you put it in context, of course, for us, Doctor, because you're good at this. This is what you do for a living, is finding ways to connect people and situations that are novel and are effective. You've got to know and feel very personally what's going on in Haiti right now because of how close your people are to the action, how possible it might be that your people end up in a similar situation. So if you can, just tell me what you know about what's happening in Haiti right now and how it fits in with the bigger picture.
Well, the big picture is what concerns me, I think, most of all, because if you ask the average American person, what do you think about Haiti? And they will say, Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, which is correct. And we feel very sorry for those people, which is correct, especially if you think about the children and the orphanage that this Christian Aid Ministry was administering and handling. It's such a great need. I think most people could identify with that. But, you know, I'm a historian, and I have to look back to see about Christopher Columbus landing in Haiti in 1492. And Haiti becoming independent under Toussaint Louverture, the first black democracy in the world. And independence was a very big thing. But then France took over from Spain and made Haiti into the most prosperous and productive colony that any of the colonial powers in the world ever had. And that was the sugar refining. And that was, they extracted unbelievable amounts of wealth from Haiti. Well, there was a lot of unrest. In 1915, the U.S. Army invaded Haiti, and we did that again in 1994 in order to stabilize that country. So meanwhile, in between that time, the voodoo physician, Papa Doc Duvalier, and his son, Baby Doc, took over and ran the Tonton Macoutes militia, which was very violent. So there was finally a Catholic priest named Jean Bertrand Aristide who was elected president in Haiti's first really free and peaceful election, but then a coup ousted him. That's why the U.S. invaded again in 1994. But in 1995, the whole country's army was disbanded, if you can imagine that.
Yeah, I remember that. It was seemed bizarre to me, but yes.
Because the army was so corrupt and was killing people and kidnapping people, and they had to disband it. So now you come to 2010, and you can see that things really changed again when there was a huge cholera outbreak. But before that, the tremendous earthquake that happened, which killed over 200,000 people. a country that is in such a desperate strait, and hurricane after hurricane, Hurricane Sandy, Hurricane Matthew in 2016, and then the assassination of the President Moise this July, and another earthquake, 7.2, which is stronger than the one that killed 200,000, but it struck on the remote area of the Tiburon Peninsula. There were about 2,200 deaths. Well, since that time, Conscience International has gone there to minister, even though it's very dangerous to do so. And now the 17 missionaries are kidnapped. So that just gives a thumbnail sketch of what the people in Haiti are dealing with, and the politicians who have tried to solve these problems, and the United States has tried to help. The UN appointed former President Bill Clinton as the special envoy to Haiti because he was interested in it. So all these things have taken place just in recent years, but particularly we got involved in 2010 when some people say up to 300,000 people were killed.
Doctor, you've given us a sweep of 250 years worth of history here, and I don't hear many episodes in that timeline that were positive. I mean, the hopefulness of the idea of an independent state being able to live out democratic principles and let the consent of the governed actually contribute for the first time in the Western Hemisphere is an amazing mark on the timeline as far as our ideals go. But it really wasn't a very smooth road from there on. Of course, the imperial powers in the West never really felt comfortable with the idea of an independent state in their midst that could really say no to them. And so it's a very complicated history. And even those who are very pro-Haiti and want to see the prosperity of the Caribbean return and to thrive, and in some ways to save us from the pressure of the immigration of those who are desperate, even those people have a hard time getting us over the hump of saying, you know what, we need to stop acting so imperiously. And again, I'm not going to delve into all the politics of how to change people's perspectives or their policies, but I do want to note that it doesn't seem to my eye right now that there's many positive things that have happened over the course of those two centuries plus for the people of Haiti. Are there any bright moments at all in there?
I think there are. If you go to Haiti, one of the most amazing things I've ever seen is I believe Haiti is one of the most religious countries in the world, in spite of all the background that I cited. If you go there on a Sunday in Port-au-Prince, the capital, you will go down the street and see numbers of pastors with their suit and tie on, their wives very nicely dressed, little girls dressed in their finest dress, walking to church holding big Bibles. There are many, many, many churches in Haiti. Every little bus that picks up people on these little jitneys kind of buses, and the big truck buses as well, has on the side, God is great, believe in Christ, and accept Christ for salvation. They have all these slogans on their buses. And yet, there is a struggle between what I guess Christians could call kingdom of light and kingdom of darkness, where you have voodoo religion, a very backward form of paganism and magic that depends on the idea of satanic influence. Mm-hmm. And that's a struggle because they did, let's see what year it was, in 2003, voodoo was recognized as a religion on par with the other faiths because it was part of the native culture there.
And there was enough adherence to it to actually be part of it.
Yes. Yeah. So that's one of the things that's troubling. The other bright light is there are many North American non-governmental organizations or charities that work there, including many, many Christian charities, and the people from North America come down and try to do what they can to help. Problem is that the Haitians have always laughed at, especially American government, mm-hmm. and the United Nations by saying, oh, well, that's the American plan. They put millions upon millions of dollars in, and nothing ever works. Yeah. And part of that is because the understanding from the native point of view, not, we're in North America, we know how to solve that. Certainly jobs, the economy, is the biggest thing. And they've depended on such things as selling charcoal because they cook with charcoal, but they had to cut down all the trees to make the charcoal, which they could sell and make a living. And then when they did that, the island was denuded on the side away from the Dominican Republic. If you look at it by satellite, it's all bare.
It is a fascinating picture. I looked at that just right after the earthquake in 2010. It hasn't changed much since. There's a solid line. You can literally tell where the country stops and starts because of the foraging that had to be forced just to make charcoal.
And what that does, Bram, is it allows a hurricane flood come down and wash people and their houses away. And 3,000 were killed in flooding in 2004. severe floods in the south killed 2,000. Same year, Hurricane Matthew, a series of storms in 2008, and on and on.
Yeah.
These things just are compounded.
Now, I've had a lot of talks with people about the economics and the cultural issues with Haiti and other countries that are in the same bracket economically. And the Western eye seems to think, well, if they could just cut down their huge population growth, they would be able to do something about their poverty. And I keep thinking to myself, any country that's ever actually stabilized and their population growth, their ability to produce, has always gotten there, not because they forcibly reduced their populations, but because they built the wealth of those who were there so that they could make choices which would lead to more education and more opportunities, which always throughout history has led to fewer and fewer births, which then puts less pressure on the environment around them and stabilizes the ecology.
That's exactly right. Now, China had a one-child policy, and they forced people to not have but one child, and it was violently enforced on each family. And then just recently, I heard that China has reversed that because they don't have enough people for certain categories of work and production. And now they're encouraging people to have children. Isn't that strange that when you try to manipulate this natural growth? So I think that you're right what you advised.
When you're facing the problems that you face with your teams, you're tackling some of the same issues that these missionaries at Christian Aid are involved with and put them at risk with these gangs. Now, I get the impression that the reason that the gangs are running around and abducting people is, one, because there's lawlessness. There's not much in the way of any inhibition to illegal behavior now because of the collapse and the ineffectiveness of the current government and the complications of a natural disaster that's not being addressed quick enough. Means that you're back to gangs running road checks and stuff and burning tires at night, and you can't go anywhere safe. There's really nobody there to make things safe. But there's also a huge economic impetus right now. There are no jobs. The economy and the currency, I understand, is basically collapsing. So those who have the power or the means to seize power will also try to seize resources. These gangs see American missionaries as a source of wealth. They see in them the potential to milk the Westerners for all they're worth and make them rich like those guys are. And that's the bind we're in right now. It's very possible it could go south really fast and these families may not make it out alive. That's just an objective possibility. None of us are praying that way or resigning ourselves to it. We are praying fervently and we encourage our listeners to be praying fervently for all the families. And I'll have a link on our website at our podcast page for this program that can get you in touch with the latest updates from that ministry about their missionaries and give you ideas to pray for.
Every country, Bram, needs a government. If you don't have a government, you have disorder. Where there's no vision, the people perish. And yeah. I think some interpretation of that has been where there's no order, the people perish. So it needs a government. It doesn't have a government. There must be somebody come in from outside, unfortunately, as the UN, the U.S. have done over and over again over the years, because the situation is going to get worse. And there's no good choices for this. That, I think, is why St. Paul in the New Testament said the powers that be are ordained of God. That doesn't mean you can't have a revolution against a despotic government, but it does mean that government enables us to act toward our neighbor as we should. And there has to be law and order. And again, some people have taken law and order phrase and used it for repression of government. That's not right. So therefore, you have to balance between those two things.
Friends, I don't really need to remind you of this, but we're living in momentous times. What I probably should remind you of, however, is that times like these have a very special place in the heart of God. He knows how the suffering and hate increases in times like these. That's why he built the church. When the rest of the world hits rock bottom, God opens his storehouses to the faithful so that they can heal, comfort, clothe, and feed the needy. Since the time of the resurrection, the church was there every time an empire collapsed, a war was waged, a persecution was faced, a pandemic was endured. And every single time, the body of Christ grew. In fact, it thrived. Why? Because they remembered to invest God's capital in the things that really mattered for eternity. They didn't run away and hide. Compassion Radio wants to be your partner in this. Will you help us? Your prayerful giving makes that possible. Just call, write, or visit our website today. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. Our website is, simply enough, CompassionRadio.com. You can even text the word compassion to 53445 right now to get a jump link to our projects and giving page. And lastly, we always appreciate your gifts, questions, and prayer requests by mail. That address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. We've always been a listener-supported and kingdom-giving ministry, so if you appreciate what you hear each day, please stand with us. And now, back to our discussion with Dr. James Jennings of Conscience International.
There has to be law and order. And again, some people have taken law and order phrase and use it for repression of government. That's not right. So therefore, you have to balance between those two things.
I think one thing you and I have been noticing more and more in the past 5 years that we've traveled together and seen countries that are trying to respond to the crises that are erupting around them, the huge waves of humanity that are now refugees and on the move, even across national borders. Transnational refugees, the sheer numbers plus the percentage has grown dramatically in the past couple of decades, more than any time in human history that we know of.
Yes.
Obviously, there are causes for that. But since we have seen those things, you and I have also been seeing the hints of that in other Western governments that have always seemed so stable, like America or even Eastern powers like China. There seems to be agitations going on that are below the surface. Haiti's been living this reality for the past 250 years. I want to circle back around to what you were talking about, it being the most religious nation that you know of. I'm not always sure that religion is an answer to anything, but we've also seen that in countries where there is great turmoil, that the church itself, the real church, the one that is worshiping God and serving Him by serving others without fear and without restraint, they're going out there and doing the things that Jesus would do, is doing through His people, that those countries are somehow still alive. The people somehow still survive. The refugee camps become communities. Things like that have happened all around the world when the church lives out not just its mandate, but lives a real relationship. I know that it's very much alive in Haiti, and not just in these Western missionaries that are showing up. There is a vibrant faith community that really loves God and loves the people. And it's one of the reasons I think it's at Haiti, even as a country, even exists now, is because that history, that sub-history, the sub-note to history has been alive and well, and God knows it and will always keep His kingdom alive somewhere. It seems like, in some ways, in the midst of all that suffering, that His blessing has also been poured out on His body there.
Well, I've been wondering why it is, and I agree with you, that the good and honest people who follow the faith of Christ are not able to actually exercise enough influence and power to govern the country in the right way. Now, you know Jean-Claude Aristide. Mm-hmm. I mean, John Aristide was a Catholic priest.
Right.
And then some of his followers, of course, did some terrible things, but he was considered a positive influence, and the United States supported him. But he's, of course, no longer there. The answer is that the opposition is so strong there, and I'm really talking about the evil forces that voodoo religion and people like Duvalier brought to Haiti that created disaster. That's something that I think people have to pray for, that there will be a restoration of honest and good government in Haiti.
That's a good point one. So let's spend the rest of the balance of our time, Doctor, talking about the things that Christians outside the bubble here can be praying about, because you have been inside that very particular bubble and you have people there that are active even now and doing good work and helping to rebuild after that hurricane and after all of the earthquakes. So your people are savvy and you have lots of friends and partners that you work with often that are down there right now. Let's talk about those things. We can pray for you. You just mentioned being praying for stable and honest representatives in their government and to rebuild that. What else can we, should we be praying for the people of Haiti, for the country of Haiti, for the spiritual forces, and for the future of that country?
Well, after the 2010 January earthquake, we were there within like 48 hours doing surgery. So we were able to get there when lots of flights could not get in, and it was such a huge disaster. Now, since the earthquake in August, the latest one, we've had a team down there on the ground, despite the fact that the road from Port-au-Prince to Les Cayes near the epicenter was covered by gangs. Mm-hmm. And we were able, fortunately, to get through that area. But now today, I cannot send my team from Florida down to Haiti because of the danger. We have to wait and see if this situation is resolved. Then we can fly into Port-au-Prince, and instead of taking the road, we have to fly or take a helicopter over to the epicenter of the earthquake in the same area where we've been roofing 125 houses since Hurricane Matthew tore all the roofs off. We are starting a not only distribution of aid program, which we've already done, tarpaulins and food packages and hygiene kits for all the villages around Lake Heiss. Also, we want to start a shelter program like we did after the 2010 earthquake, where we built 187 permanent homes. So that's our agenda and our plan. And I think that it's good for people in this country to say, you know, I can't do everything, but I can do something. Mm-hmm. Let me help this organization, Conscience International, that is trying to meet people's needs where they are. That's what we're all about.
What else do you think we need to be paying attention to and praying from the things that we understand up here? We can, I think, remotely agree that we need to do something to put roofs over heads of people or children that are starving in the streets. And those are first line offenses. You tackle the immediate problem there and try to put that fire out so you can move on to the next thing. Eventually, you get down to systemic things. And after years, if there's been progress and we've fixed problems along the way, then there's a possibility that you'll have partnership and cooperation and common cause with those who live in the country to be thinking in terms of how do we fit into the bigger community, which is our hemisphere or the world itself. But that doesn't really start until there's really hope there. If you don't believe that you're ever going to climb out of your hole, you're not going to spend your time trying to help others climb out of theirs. How do you pray, Jim, when you think about the history, the present, and the future of a country like Haiti? What do you pray for a country like that?
Well, I pray that the people themselves will not be forgotten and not just be ciphers or numbers for us, that we'll see that they're real people. And especially you've got to feel for the children and so many of the women in Haiti that are working every day, maybe selling something on the street or selling charcoal or cooking with charcoal to make a living, just a few pennies each day. So we need to keep in mind those people. But then I think we have to pray for those in power and authority, like at the UN and the United States and European governments, that can actually make a difference and help to stabilize. And after every disaster, the way we have to operate is we have to assess the situation correctly. And then after the assessment phase, we have to go in with the stabilization phase and try to stabilize that situation so it doesn't get any worse.
Yeah.
And that means sometimes food and water. Water is so important, having clean water so that communicable diarrhea doesn't spread through children and kill them as it does.
Yes.
The high death rate because of that. And all those things stabilize the situation. Right now we're looking for shelter options in the Tiburon Peninsula where the recent earthquake hit. Everybody can do something, and it's good, I think, if people understand that through Compassion Radio they can do a marvelous amount by helping, and every little bit helps.
And that's why we're here, is trying to make those things very evident, that there are really, truly practical things we can be doing all the time to make a difference in the world. In the name of Jesus, and for his glory, and for the relief, and for the future, and for the hope of those you serve. God put us in this time to be doing something, not just to sit around and wonder why we're not born some other time. So I am grateful that you and I, Doctor, are part of this generation. And lastly, I would just remind our folks that we're praying for some specific people here, too. These American and Canadian missionaries down in Haiti that are currently being held by gangs. God has a plan for what he intends to do to bring glory to himself in that. And we don't know what that plan is, but I know that we're in charge with the responsibility and the urgency to pray for our brothers and sisters who are caught up, who are in prison, who are being held against their will, that God would do incredible work in them and through them and bring glory to himself in it. So don't be afraid or wonder what you should pray, friends. Just open your heart up and pray for your brothers and sisters in the country of Haiti and the missionaries that are there, that are part of that community, that serve them. And look them up. I've got links on the website at the podcast page about what's happening with Christian Aid Ministries and, of course, Conscience International, our dear friends and partners in so many things. And Dr. Jennings, our dear leader, I'll call you, our friend in understanding history, the present, and having hope for the future. Well, I really, really, really appreciate your input, like always.
You're welcome, Bram. I enjoy and appreciate your work so much because you're communicating with people these vital facts and truths.
Again, Dr. James Jennings of Conscious International, thank you again for joining us on Compassion Radio.
Thank you.
Our thanks again to Dr. James Jennings of Conscious International for his insight and wisdom about the situation in Haiti. Just go to our podcast page at CompassionRadio.com to learn more about the things we're praying for along with you. There'll be links there to information about the missionaries and, of course, Conscious International and the amazing work that James Jennings does with his teams around the world. Remember, friends, Compassion Radio is always a coalition of the willing. Are you willing to help get out God's good news stories of the kingdom really living the gospel in the 21st century? Oh, I hope so. Just call or write us today to help keep us on the air and in the field. 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. You can contact us anytime right through your phone by texting COMPASSION to 53445 to support the ministry today. And jump in anytime at CompassionRadio.com. We're waiting for you, friends. Hop on board.